revenge from my childhood, and so I apologize for the quality of my voice today, but hopefully I can convey some of our work. My name is Joseph Burke, and I'm a PhD student in soil science at Texas A&M University. And along with my co-author, Dr. Lewis, we are excited to show my longest relationship, and that is some work that we've been doing in La Mesa, Texas over the last 5 years. And this work is focusing on nitrogen management and conservation systems to try and better understand how we can increase use efficiency and better understand that yield gap. So Lubbock loves cotton, and cotton loves Lubbock and the area surrounding it. We grow about 25% of the U.S. cotton crop in Texas, and about 60% of that comes from the semi-arid Texas High Plains where we are growing cotton. It's a semi-arid environment with only about 45 centimeters of rainfall annually, and that requires about 40% of the cotton acres to be dependent on irrigation from the declining Ogallala aquifer. The soils are also a little bit difficult to manage. We have quite a bit of sand in our soils and inherently low soil organic carbon numbers. Can't hear me? That's because it's not on. How's that? All right. No, you're fine. And with these sandy soils also comes the potential for wind erosion in the area. Now, everyone knows what wind erosion looks like because you've watched PBS in the past. But the one thing that you can change from 1935 to 2019 is that our camera resolution of our cameras has gotten better, but our potential for wind erosion has not decreased, even though we have decreased the amount of wind erosion that happens over time. So with our attempts to reduce wind erosion, one of the most common practices that we have implemented are conservation practices. That's like no-tillage and cover cropping in an attempt to reduce the potential for our soils to be eroded. Now with that comes the significant question of what are those cover crops doing to my cotton plants in West Texas? And this is the question that every single farmer in the room that we have every time we go to a growers meeting is always asking me. So I like to start off with a graph to explain the yield differences. So this is a long-term conservation study spanning 21 years in La Mesa, Texas. In the gray bars, we have our conventional tillage with a winter fallow cover, or with no cover and winter fallow. With our green bars, we have no tillage with a rye cover, and our blue bars are a mixed species cover, NRCS recommendation, and no tillage. We have years along the x-axis, and on the y-axis we have lint yield in kilograms per hectare. And so in 2016 and 2017, we can see this yield gap in its most extreme form, where our conventional cotton yields greater than our no-till. And every farmer in the room, every time I give this presentation, says, well, duh, it's the water. And so that's the biggest question of why are we having this, or the biggest answer to this question of why are we having this yield drag is it's the water, stupid. Just answer me the water question. There's only so much water we have to plant cotton and you're wasting it on this cover crop. Okay, great. But let's look at one more other thing that might also be causing that problem, and that's a nutrient immobilization problem. Because with this added cover crop that you're adding, you're also adding added carbon, and that carbon is going to have an influence on that soil system as well. So we have two studies to describe this. The first one we're going to look at is water usage. The second one is going to look at nitrogen, and I hope to convey to you today that it is not a water issue. So the first system is our long-term soil health management system in La Mesa, Texas. It's at the Agricultural Complex for Advanced Research and Extension Systems, or AgCares. It was established in 1998 as a comparison between conventional tillage with a winter fallow versus no tillage and a rye cover. It was that way until 2014, when they split the rye plots in half and added a mixed species cover based on NRCS recommendations to that. And this is its location in La Mesa. It's very pretty from space. And so we have the treatments. It's a randomized complete block design with three replications. Again, it's a conventional tillage winter fallow, or CT, compared to a no-till rye cover, RNT, planted about 34 kilograms per hectare. And then a no-tillage with a mixed species cover, also planted about 34 kilograms per hectare. That's rye at about 50%, Austrian winter pea at 33%, hairy vetch at 10%, and radish at 7% by weight. And again, this was established in 2014 based on an NRCS recommendation for our area in Texas. And these are big boy plots. These are 16 rows wide by 76 meters long. So we're looking at a commercial scale. And then in the management, again, they're seeded following cotton harvest each year. That varies quite a bit from early November until the day before Christmas Eve, so Christmas Eve Eve. And it's chemically terminated using glyphosate. The cotton variety we typically plant is Deltapline 1321, and that's planted in May of each year and trying to harvest it in November, depending on weather. We have the capacity to irrigate with low energy precision application, or LEPA, and then it's fertilized, the cotton crop, not the mix or the covers, but the cotton crop is fertilized at 100 kilograms of nitrogen and 34 kilograms of P2O5 as ammonium polyphosphate. So the big question is, how much biomass can you really generate in West Texas? And if you sat in Ray White's conversation or presentation earlier, we can get quite a bit of biomass that grows in that area. So we typically range from around 2,000 kilograms of dry matter above ground biomass per year, all the way up to almost 6,000 kilograms of biomass. And that's quite a bit. So along the y-axis, we have our no-till rye in one group, and then our no-till mixed species cover, and then that's our x-axis. And on our y-axis, we have our herbage mass, so above ground biomass and dry matter, and kilograms of dry matter per hectare. And so in each of those years, you can see it's pretty variable based on winter precipitation. We try not to irrigate our cover crops as much as possible, although we failed at that in the winters of 2018 and 2019. Those were pretty rough. So we have had to irrigate our cover crops then. And in some of the years, you can see some significant difference between them. But what we end up generally having, because of our growing season is limited and the amount of water we have is limited, we get a rye cover and a more expensive rye cover crop, because most of the legumes do not do very well in our area. So with all of that added biomass, you get all of the added carbon. And so not only is it using moisture to grow that, but it's also accumulating CO2 from the atmosphere. And that is building up our carbon levels. So years along the x-axis for sampling. And then on the y-axis, we have soil organic carbon in grams per kilogram. Now, while this is not adjusted for bulk density, the bulk densities were not different between any of the treatments, even after 21 years. And so what we can see is that we are steadily building up our soil organic matter compared to that conventional tillage system with these cover crops. So then the big question, is it moisture? So since 2015, we've been collecting biweekly samples looking at moisture. So on the x-axis of this graph, we're looking at days since January 1, 2016, which is a good starting year for this. And then we're comparing two systems here. So on the y-axis, we have depth below the soil surface, so going from 20 to 100 centimeters. And we're looking at the amount of moisture that's available using a neutron probe. So this is going to scatter some neutrons out there, bounce back. Whatever bounces back is absorbing water or measuring water, and vice versa. And so what we can see is that comparing between these two treatments, when we plant cotton, there is no significant difference in moisture availability at depth or total in the profile between the two systems. Now, while that cover crop does limit the amount of moisture because of the timings of rainfall in our area, where most of those occur in late March, early spring, after we terminate the cover crop, we're able to reaccumulate that moisture in the profile needed for that cotton crop. So, and we've seen this in every single year since we've been doing this study. While there is an initial use of moisture by the cover crop, we recover that moisture, and then we have greater moisture throughout the growing season in our no-till systems than we do in our conventionally tilled system. So if it's not moisture, then maybe it's nutrients. I'm not saying that's the only other answer, but that's the answer that I'm looking at. And so we have another system that's looking at nitrogen fertilization and conservation management systems, also in La Mesa, just a little bit across the turn row and two other wedges that we have. So wedge one, we have a conventional tilled system with the winter fallow, very similar to the last study. And then in wedge nine, we have a continuous cotton system with a rye cover that's also terminated. So something that we're also looking at. And then, but in addition to that, we have four nitrogen applications. So we have Danny's practice, or our farmer manager practice. That's 134 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And then we have Danny's practice plus 34 kilograms pre-plant. Danny's practice, 34 kilograms 2 to 3 weeks post-emergence, or PON. And then finally, a farmer's practice plus that 34 kilograms at Pinhead Square plus 2 weeks. And we wanted to see that if we could supply the microbes with enough nutrients before the season started, could that have an impact on the amount of cotton that we get later in the season, maybe from immobilization? These are baby plots, so these are 4 rows wide by 12 meters long, so more typical plot research. And so here's the kit and caboodle. All right, so on the left figure, we have 2018 data. On the right figure, we have 2019 data. On the x-axis, we've got our conventional tillage winter fallow compared to our conventional tillage with a rye cover. And then on our y-axis, we have cotton lint yield in kilograms of lint per hectare. Now, I know that they are different scales on the left and on the right, but hopefully that doesn't bother you too much. So if you look at 2018, where we have that pre-plant application in our conventional till system, we have significantly greater lint yield compared to all of the other nitrogen fertilization application methods. In the conventional tillage system with the rye cover, though, it's that emergence plus 3 weeks where we start to see that benefit shaping out compared to the other treatments, although the pre-plant is closely falling behind that one. In 2019, though, we see the stark difference between that. 2019 was a rough year. It started off fantastic. It was looking like we had gotten a gift that year. Cool season up front, lots of moisture, and then May happened. And we had, 2 to 3 dust bowls in a single month, replanted cotton in most of our studies 2 to 3 times, and then the rain just completely stopped in the summertime. It was miserable. Terrible year. But where we have this conventional tillage rye cover system with that pre-plant is where we really started to see the benefit of that additional nitrogen early up front. Excuse me. So some conclusions to draw from this. The conservation management practices have a variable rate on cotton lint production, right? Not surprising to anyone. Now, whether that derives from moisture or from nutrients, we're trying to answer those questions. Cover crop biomass production can be significant on the Texas High Plains with adequate winter precipitation. We have seen this time and time again. We can generate the same amount of biomass as those guys in Iowa can. So something that I didn't show you, but I have a figure if you'd like to look at it, is that biological indicators of soil health are not linked to cotton yield, which is one of the biggest questions I get. You're producing all this biomass, so why aren't we seeing the same benefit of the biology increasing our lint yield? We've done a comprehensive analysis now 2 years in a row, and there is no linkage between any biological indicator of soil health that we have tested and lint yield. We just haven't seen it. So if you have some recommendations, I'm more than willing to take those. Finally, additional nitrogen applied early season increases lint yields in conservation management systems compared to just a conventional practice of applying your nitrogen up front. So with that, I say thank you to everyone, including everyone who helps me on this project, my advisors and my co-authors, and I look forward to any questions you might have. Dr. Long.
Show a little bit more about your treatment on that last study for the rye. Is that incorporated, or is that a note? It says conventional tillage rye cover.
Yes. So question is, how do we apply the nitrogen in these systems? And it's knifed in. Is that what you're asking?
Well, that and how do you manage the rye cover crop if it's conventional tillage? Is that being tilled into the system?
Yes. My understanding is that it is tilled into the system in those early for those April tillage practices.
I think any thoughts on how the response would be for no-till or the rye remains on the surface versus tilling it into the system in conventional tillage?
Great question. So what is the difference going to be, and I'm assuming decomposition rates is what you're getting at, in a plowed system versus an unplowed system? So basics of decomposition, where you plow something under, not only are you increasing the aeration of the soil itself, but you're also breaking down the size of the particles that you're trying to decompose, aka the cover. So when you do that, typically you increase the surface area, which allows more places for microbes to mineralize that material early on. Whereas in our no-till systems, you just leave that residue on the surface, and that's going to slow down or impede the amount of microbial activity which would mineralize those the material. Yes, sir.
Does the conventional tillage system have a feature of purpose?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, wouldn't a conventional of tilling in with rye cover, wouldn't that defeat the purpose of your cover crop, which you indicated was to control wind erosion?
Yes, so the question is, if you till in your rye cover, isn't that going to defeat the purpose of having a rye cover for wind protection? Essentially, yes. So one of the benefits that we have from rye is not necessarily the above ground biomass slowing wind erosion, but the below ground biomass. So will we see that we have any increase in below ground biomass, we reduce our wind erosion potential significantly, even if it's tilled in. You know, also we plant on beds, which helps slow wind erosion. So where we have our no-till system in the older study, that's planted flat. And so we have some other difficulties there compared to in our other system where we have beds. But yeah, great question. Anything else? It says I have, I'm over time by 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Apologize. All right, thank you all.